At his recent policy update meeting, ACCC Chairman Rod Sims signalled a greater emphasis on large corporates rather than single-issue actions that could be better handled by state fair trading regulators. He also indicated he'd continue to prosecute via the courts and aggressively go after transgressors, citing recent wins against Flight Centres and Reckitt Benckiser, whose Nurofen advertising breached the misleading and deceptive conduct section of the competition law. I was there at the policy meeting along with Hans Lee, who has this report.
Being more serious about large companies adhering to their dues and cracking down on anti-competitive conduct were the two big themes of concern at the ACCC's recent policy launch in Sydney. This year's address was Chairman Rod Sims' sixth, as the Commission continues to deal with various ongoing challenges in both the consumer and business spaces.
When we take action, we send messages. Our enforcement record against what we judge to be anti-competitive or anti-consumer behaviour lets businesses know that we're serious about addressing those sorts of matters. However, one issue that continually emerges is whether the penalties that large businesses, I'm not talking medium or small, but large businesses, whether those penalties are enough of a deterrent value. We do see companies breaching the Act or coming very close to it, in our view, and we often see that there's not a good understanding of the seriousness of the issues involved. And we think the current low penalties contribute to this approach. Now, we're seeking to change this, and we are seeing encouraging signs from the courts to assist us to do that.
Also on the agenda is a potential looming inquiry into the telecommunications oligopoly. He wants to see a declaration inquiry for the retailers who continue to overcharge and underdeliver on performance.
We are working with various telecommunications companies to get them to give better information to consumers about what speed claims they can expect, what can they typically expect, what affects your broadband speed performance and so on. So we're very much working with industry to come up with some guidance on that. And as some of you may know, we're also pushing to get a broadband monitoring regime up where we can put a monitoring system in place which we've tested, which will determine what speeds people are getting. And that will allow us to determine who's at fault. The moment we're hearing accusations where people are concerned they're not getting what they should be from the NBN, and we have no idea whether it's the NBN not providing the service or it's their retail service provider not buying enough capacity from NBN. The only way to sort out those debates is through a broadband monitoring regime, and we're continuing to press that with government, and we'll see how we go.
Business contracts were also on Chairman Sims' agenda for this year. Sims highlighted that the law's renewed enforcement is making more concerned parties aware of their bias responsibilities, leading to fairer results for everyone.
The unfair contract terms business to business, I just think is excellent law. A lot of people may not agree, but we've had unfair contracts between business and consumers on the books for a while. Last year it got extended to business. And the importance of that is, when you look at some of the contracts that small businesses are confronted with, and these are standard form contracts, they're not individually negotiated contracts, they're standard form. That is, you don't get to negotiate them, well, sometimes they're 800 pages long, you can't even read them, but it's, you know, the company supplying the service has gone to their lawyers and say, write me a contract that's a general application, no one's negotiating the contract, it's written in a thoroughly one-sided way, and it causes real detriment to small business.
I also had a chance to speak to Chairman Sims himself after the presentation. Here's what he had to say about a range of issues, from Amazon's entry into Australia to preventing e-business scams.
We can start by looking at Amazon coming into Australia later this year. Will the ACCC be watching this move very closely, and in what areas?
We certainly will be watching it. I mean, we actually welcome all these sorts of organisations coming in. They do break up incumbent firms, which we think is always good. I mean, we do believe in the benefit of disruption. So Uber coming in on taxis has been tremendously beneficial. So we always welcome new players coming in. So we'll be watching it just to see what effect it has, whether any of the incumbent firms seek to exclude Amazon in ways that they shouldn't.
I can't get more specific than that because I'm not quite sure we fully understand the effect of it yet. But looking at the Westfield comments today on Amazon, and they've got a strategy, obviously, for accommodating Amazon. But no, we welcome it, and we'll just be looking to make sure that it does have the competitive benefits we're hoping it has.
Talking also about now e-business scams, we saw a recurring story with the Valentine's Day scams of online shopping, etc., and many other examples beforehand. Does the ACCC plan to implement any proactive policies or programs to deal with the ever-increasing number of e-business scams?
Oh, yeah. Now, we've got two things we do. One is we have a program to warn people. We track who might be sending money to certain places and try and send them warning letters. So we do that all very quietly. But more importantly, we're working with the main platform providers. So we're working with the main companies like eBay and a range of others I've probably forgotten, but most of them, to see how they can help prevent these sort of scams. So really very strongly into that sort of disruption. Unfortunately, there's not much else you can do, because ultimately it's, apart from warning people and asking people to be just that little bit more cautious, not pass their bank account details or money and all that sort of stuff. So we're sending a lot of messages. So it does take, it's a big part of what we do, and it's something we'll continually be heavily engaged in.
So working a lot, particularly with the consumer privacy, those kinds of areas?
More making sure the platform providers have got an eye to what might be a scam and they work with us to close it down. Working also with the banks when people start sending excessive amounts of money to unusual places. So it's more that sort of stuff. No, to us it's not a privacy issue, it's people losing money to scams. Privacy, no, we're more interested in consumer detriment.
And tell us lastly about the ACCC's progress in expanding consumer literacy and advocacy programs. I know, reading your address from last year, you were particularly looking at Indigenous areas and also areas for new migrants coming to Australia who may not understand those programs. How has the impact been on that?
Look, I think pretty good. We're getting great more take-up in Indigenous communities, for example. So some of them are putting up signs saying, do not knock. That is, we don't want visiting people knocking on doors selling things, because I'm afraid invariably they're selling things at higher prices and probably products you don't need. So we're getting that message out. And there's a cultural dimension to that, that people feel able to say no, where sometimes, and we're trying to empower them to say no. And sometimes that's difficult in some of these communities. We put a lot of stuff out in different languages to get messages out. People involved in franchise cleaning, for example, we've put messages out in various languages to warn them about what might be there. I mean, you can never do too much of this, and we're no doubt not doing enough, but we do try and focus on areas where we see a lot of detriment and try and get some messages out in different languages and different ways.
Chairman of the ACCC, Rod Sims, ending that report by Hans Lee.